The pro-business U.S. Supreme Court could get another pro-business justice. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Federal Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh, the president's nominee for the Supreme Court, is a friend of business by many standard measures. But if he's confirmed, don't expect it to make the whole court pro-business. The thing is, it already is, using the success rate of the business lobby as one guide. Kent Greenfield is a professor at the Boston College Law School. He's written about this.
This Supreme Court, ever since Roberts has been the Chief Justice for a decade or more, has been quite pro-business. This last term, in fact, just as a reference point, the Chamber of Commerce filed briefs in 10 cases and won 9 of them.
But even cases like, for instance, the crisis health clinics that cannot be compelled to post a sign that says an abortion could be available, that has wider impact to businesses not even connected to the healthcare field.
That's right. One of the trends that we've seen over the last decade or so is that the court has been much more attuned to the notion that free speech rights are come into play with run-of-the-mill regulations. So the requirements that businesses disclose information or sell information among themselves, the court has increasingly seen that as having First Amendment free speech implications. And I think we're going to continue to see that trend in the coming years.
But you're not saying that if Brett Kavanaugh, the federal judge, gets in, that that's irrelevant to the business agenda?
No, not at all. In some ways, it's relevant in this respect. He replaces Kennedy, and Kennedy may have voted with liberals on issues of gay rights and occasionally on issues of abortion. But Justice Kennedy was staunchly conservative and pro-business. He wrote the Citizens United case, for example. He wrote that pharmaceutical case that said that limitations on pharmaceutical companies were a violation of the First Amendment. It's not a Trumpian nomination in the sense that it's in the mainstream, conservative. We shouldn't expect to see any big shifts, at least with regard to these kinds of cases going forward.
Boston College law professor Kent Greenfield is also author of the book Corporations Are People Too and They Should Act Like It. Professor, thank you.
Thank you, David.
With the U.S. and China in what looks very much like a trade war, guess who's over in Germany signing deals? The Chinese prime minister with Chancellor Merkel. Today, the two countries signed $24 billion in trade and other deals for businesses to cooperate. German businesses like Siemens, BASF, BMW were part of this. Although this was a bilateral thing, both leaders today verbally stressed their faith in the multilateral trading system. As for the numbers given all this, now that markets are open, Dow is up 98 points, 0.4%. Both the S&P and the NASDAQ are each up 0.2%. Interest rates, one benchmark is the 10-year Treasury yield. It's up slightly, 2.86%. The dollar is up versus the euro, $1.17 now. So where's this trade war in these numbers? Karen Kavanaugh is market strategist at Voya Investment Management.
I see a lot of talk about a trade war, but if I take a look at the actual company earnings, it doesn't look like a lot of companies are guiding down. In fact, earnings are looking up, and we're expecting 20% earnings growth year over year in the second quarter. For all of the talk about the trade war, we haven't really seen it manifest itself in the earnings projections.
Well, second quarter, though, is before trade war, so you'll also be interested when these companies report their profits and losses beginning in earnest next week. You'll be looking for what are they thinking about the third quarter?
Absolutely. And that's what we saw in the first quarter. First quarter earnings growth was, again, fantastic. But investors were a little skeptical because they said, what's going on for the rest of the year? Are you going to be guiding your earnings down? Is this peak earnings? And what we're finding is it's not. We're seeing companies still projecting robust profits, and the economic backdrop seems to be getting better, not worse. The U.S. economy is continuing to grow, and we're looking at projections of potentially even close to 5% GDP growth in the second quarter. That's an absolutely amazing backdrop for company earnings.
All right, we'll watch to see how and if this plays out like this. Karen Kavanaugh at Voya Investment Management. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves amid talk of 5% economic growth later this year, maybe, we are watching the price of crude oil today up 1.8% in Europe right now. Many big squeezes on oil supply around the world are going on, including a new one today. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is following this from London. Hiya.
Hi, David.
All right. What is this squeeze out of Norway?
Norway has got about 30 offshore oil fields. They produce nearly 2 million barrels a day. However, today you've got 700 workers going on strike. Another 900 oil workers could follow by Sunday. And you're looking at a total of maybe more than 2,000 workers who could join the action. They're unhappy about a small pay rise. It wasn't as big as they'd hoped for. And changes to pension rights. They say it's really unfair. And the leader of one of the two unions that I spoke to briefly this morning, she said that they're willing to go on strike for as long as it takes to get back to the negotiating table.
So this is the Norway situation, but this is a global oil market, and there are other supply squeezes that could be contributing to these higher prices.
That's right. You've got Venezuela, where production has collapsed due to a lack of investment. Libya has Africa's largest reserves, and production there has gone down by nearly half recently. You've also got U.S. sanctions on Iranian oil purchasing. The deadline for that is November the 4th. So a lot of countries, for example, South Korea, they're already cutting back on Iranian oil purchases. If Norway's disruption continues, that could mean oil prices go higher still, according to the analysts.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, you can hear her in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss her broadcast. Anu, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
So the benchmark European price, Brent crude, again, is up 1.8% at $79.40 a barrel. Over the last year, it was down at $49. Oil traded on the New York Mercantile Exchange here, West Texas Intermediate, is up 1% now, $74.60. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.